Well, that's a tough one to swallow. No doubt about it. Hard to win when you only score two runs. Now two total runs in two games for those keeping track. Really hard math I had to do there. The bats, they just never really got going today. Christopher Sanchez, the Phillies bullpen, five total hits off of them today. Two total runs. Bowden Francis, who I'm sure we'll talk about a lot today, couldn't get out of the fourth inning. Chad Green, who I am also certain we will talk a lot about today, gives a bomb to Max Kepler in the eighth, and the Blue Jays lose their second straight game. 3-2 the final score. They lose the series in Philly. They are now 38-32 on the year. You're listening to Jays Talk, of course. Show Ali here with you, flying solo today. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network, also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line always open. Standard data and messaging rates may apply. I see a lot here. There's a lot to get to. And like I said, it's going to be a lot on Bowden Francis, a lot on Chad Green. You know, I got to say, when Bowden Francis came out of this game, the first inning definitely did not instill in me an overabundance of confidence, right? Like some really hard hit balls off pitches in the first inning, like Turner probably missing his chance to send a ball to the moon after Francis missed his spot early on. He would get into some 3-0 counts. Kyle Schwarber, for example, thumping some foul balls on pitches well above the zone that would have been ball four. But I mean, look, they don't ask you how, right? They ask you how many. And after one inning, I mean, given all of that, that he had allowed no hits or walks, you view that as a win. And I thought he'd found something. Truly, I did. I thought he found something going forward, right? Some very well-located pitches in the second inning. A perfectly placed curveball that just clips the top of the zone to get Kepler. He gets Real Muto to swing at the splitter well below the zone to end that inning. The splitter looked like it was working overall. I mean, he got another strikeout on that pitch off Kemp in the third. He fooled Kyle Schwarber to start the fourth with the splitter as well. I mean, that thing looked like it was moving right down the middle and then just dives right below the zone to get Schwarber, one of the best hitters in all of baseball, to swing just enough. But of course, he unraveled in the fourth completely, right? So we get those two quick outs, walk to Castellanos, walk to Kepler, you bean Real Muto, you walk Stott to force in a run, and then you hit Kemp to force in another run. I mean, that unraveled as quick as you'll ever see. 3 2/3 innings of a game in which all you've done is give up a single, and then the next five straight batters get aboard without a hit. I mean, he threw 37 total pitches in the fourth inning, 26 of them from Castellanos onwards. I mean, that's quite the meltdown. And it happening so quick, I'm curious what you guys think. It happening so quick makes me think it's a mental thing with him, right? Because the velo didn't look terrible. The splitter, as we discussed, looked like it was moving pretty well, all things considered. But it's like once he walked Castellanos, things snowballed in his head extremely quickly. Like he got the two outs in that inning prior to that pretty efficiently, all things considered, which I'm sure played a role in why Schneider didn't come out after the second walk. I think I would have probably yanked him after he hit Real Muto to initially load the bases. I mean, the leash had to have been pretty short. And I support letting guys work through things if you're looking good. But after two walks and a hit batter, he probably should have been pulled at that point. But then again, like, to be fair, that is hindsight, right? Hindsight is 2020. And Bowden Francis, we know they were trying to get him to land in a spot positively. It's just, it's too bad that that just did not happen. 590-590, name and location. Taking your text, taking your calls as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go to the text line. Let's see. There's one here from Q in Winnipeg. The worst part about that loss today is that the bullpen is now drained for tomorrow. 3+ inning outing is not good enough. Perhaps I would have kept Francis in to eat up innings and save the bullpen for tomorrow. Something needs to change in the rotation. It's not sustainable. I'll agree on that. Okay. Something does need to change. I'll disagree, Q, with the bullpen being drained for tomorrow. I think you can still use, if not every one of the guys you saw today, certainly Little and Weyrod threw a decent chunk of pitches. You know, I think you do want to go to those guys as much as you can. But ultimately, I don't know. I do think that with a day off on Monday, you can survive using them. I also think, too, you're probably not as worried about using it, using those two guys and whoever else you need to use. Probably not Chad Green at this point, but you probably can get by knowing that even if Wheeler's on the mound for the Phillies, Berríos is on the mound for you, who does typically help you eat innings, right? So I think you probably needed to pull Francis, because, again, if it is mental, I'm not sure you want to let it snowball continually. But I do agree that something needs to change in the starting rotation, because you cannot, and we've talked about this a million times, you cannot run out two bullpen days effectively every turn through your starting rotation. I think you can piece it together once every turn, maybe. And the Blue Jays have been pretty fortunate, I think, to win as many of their bullpen starts as they have so far this season in the absence of Max Scherzer, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But man, I'm not sure you can keep doing this for the rest of the season. Not for a team that in theory has aspirations of at the very least getting past the first round of the playoffs, right? I know the goal obviously is to win a World Series, but still. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, welcome to Jays Talk. What's up?
Mr. Show, how are you today, buddy?
Good, man. Always fun when I get to do Jays Talk. I wish it was after a win, though.
Hey, it's okay. We're on fire right now anyways. It's two losses. It's no big deal. But what is the big deal is Bowden Francis. It's unacceptable. It's detriment to him. It's a detriment to the team to leave him on the team currently. Last year, before he literally became Cy Young, he was pitching like this, and we sent him down and let him figure it out. You cannot let him start again. You cannot. It's just a slap in the face to everyone that's a part of the situation. You need to fix that problem. I feel the exact same way about Chad Green. Like, I think if we went and looked at Chad Green's appearances this year, 95% of them he's given up a home run. Is that a crazy? Like, I don't think I'm crazy to say that. It's literally felt that way. Something needs to change. I would love to see, like, remember when we traded for David Price, Matty Boyd, Norris, we traded those guys. Good pieces. We didn't need them. We got Price, who we desperately needed. Why can't we do something like that now? Package Chad Green, Eric Swanson, maybe throw in like a Mako prospect. Go get the pitching that we very desperately need, because this is a great ball team and you don't want to let it just spiral with the problems that we have currently. Fix it now. It needs to get done. Go Blue Jays. We'll be fine. We'll win tomorrow. Don't stress.
Ryan, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us on Jays Talk as always. Yeah, I do think the problem with sending, so there's a lot there from Ryan, but the problem with sending Bowden down is that who is the slam dunk option to replace him right now, right? Because if you look at how things have lined up, and again, to go back to Q's text, I totally understand not wanting to run Bowden out there. You don't want it to snowball mentally even more for him, because he was really struggling in that fourth inning. And knowing that Wheeler's on the mound tomorrow, I'm sure played a huge role in it. I mean, again, also knowing that Berríos is on the mound tomorrow, who can eat innings for you, I'm certain is at least a small part of it. But also with Wheeler, I mean, that's a tough ask, right? Wheeler is one of the best pitchers in baseball, period. Not just for the Phillies and their rotation, not just in the division, like not just in the NL, generally in the entirety of baseball. Zach Wheeler is one of the best pitchers, period. So, you know, you go for the win today because, you know, Barker has said this before, you don't want to get swept, certainly, but I understand them going to their highest leverage guys, and Chad Green got, who we'll talk about, but I don't know. Ultimately, if there was a better choice in the minors, I think the Jays would have for sure gone to it, right? Because if you look at how things, I think, go from here on out, I believe with the day off on Monday, the next start in theory would line up Francis to pitch against the White Sox, I want to say, in Toronto, which would be on Friday or Saturday, depending on how they want to line this up here. But because of that day off on Monday, and also because of the day off on this past Thursday, we know we're getting Berríos tomorrow. You'll get Bassett, the bullpen day, likely Lauer, and I'm sure Turnbull will be a part of that solution, but Lauer slash the bullpen on Wednesday, Gausman on Thursday. That's your Diamondback series starters. And that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then that takes us to Friday, right? That brings us back around to Bowden Francis. Maybe the Jays feel like the White Sox are the best landing spot for Francis to get one last start before Scherzer, question mark, is potentially a part of his solution. Like, Schneider did say today, earlier today, that Max Scherzer is going to make another minor league start, likely going to be on Wednesday. So I have to imagine that barring another solution cropping up suddenly, that Scherzer is only going to be a part of the answer for all these questions we're asking the following turn through the rotation. But that's a tough place to be. I got to say, that's a really tough place to be. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's continue working through what to do with Bowden Francis on the phones with Jen in Toronto. Jen, welcome to JSTOC. What's up?
Oh, hi. I didn't have high hopes. And I think there's a lot of pressure on him. He doesn't have a great pitch. None of his arsenal includes a great pitch. But my concern was Zach Wheeler's pitching tomorrow. You know, we're probably going to lose that game. Spend all your bullets. I would have left Yariel Rodriguez in for two innings, even three. He's been a starter. Fisher was great. We don't need to see Chad Green and Swanson ever in games like this. I don't understand why they didn't extend Yariel Rodriguez. He throws 99, and it was an exciting game. And then they put in, Chad Green. I loved him, but, you know, love is hard. So what are your thoughts?
Hey, Jen, I appreciate the call. That's a very philosophical take when it comes to love. Thanks for joining me on JSOC. Yeah, Chad Green. Let's work backwards, shall we? Chad Green. Yeah, you guys know my thoughts on Chad Green. Like, I have not been a huge fan of using him in leverage situations, right? And we can talk about Swanson as well. And again, he came in yesterday. Things got out of hand with Swanson, and he has not looked particularly great since coming back off the IL, certainly. But again, between the two of them, Green and Swanson, I'm not sure you can roll either of them out there when you're needing to keep scores the same, right? Like, the fastball he threw to Kepler was entirely in the zone. Castellanos narrowly missing a home run right before him. And again, like, you know, you can't really get on him for getting the out, certainly. But still, Chad Green, I think a lot of the peripherals when it comes to command, how he's been using his most used pitches going back to his Yankees career, all of the numbers support him being someone closer to a medium leverage reliever versus a high leverage reliever. I will say, I mean, with Braden Fisher, I don't think it's crazy. You guys tell me if this is crazy. I don't think it's crazy to say there's something with Fisher, right? He got today, I think he faced four batters, Marsh, Turner, Schwarber, and Bohm. So 9-1-2-3 in the Phillies order. He would walk Turner, but I mean, that's it. He kept the game tied at 2 in the 7th inning, and this coming after not that long ago, we saw him keep things settled in an 8th inning of work. He is clearly starting to earn the trust, of John Schneider more and more. I mean, we might not be here quite yet, right? I think you'd want to see this happen more consistently with a guy who has only pitched in the majors since the beginning of May. But I do think there's enough there in medium to high leverage moments that I wonder if, at least internally, it is starting to become a discussion about how you finagle a way to keep Fisher in the majors when you have to have the conversation about roster spots, right? I mean, Scherzer, active roster spots, I should say. Scherzer, Sandlin, when these guys get closer to returning, and it feels like Scherzer is probably closer than Sandlin is, at least right this second. I mean, what does that look like? I mean, do you consider DFAing Eric Swanson, who, of course, at this stage of his career no longer has options, over using up a Fisher option to send him down without DFAing someone, right? I think the team has generally been pretty conservative with this kind of thing. Having said that, in the last like couple of months, they've also had the leashes pretty short for guys who get DFA'd, for example. Having said that, I think the team will likely opt to keep Swanson and simply exercise an option with Fisher. But I got to think right now, it should be at least a conversation because he is absolutely making a case to be kept. As for stretching out Weyrod in this game in particular, I mean, you know, comes in to take care of the runner third with two outs, shows off the fastball to Bohm right away. I mean, just a smidge over 97 miles an hour. Takes three pitches to get Bohm to pop out to Schneider. But they did do the thing I love to see baseball managers do, right? Something we're seeing more of these days. They go to the guy best suited to put out fires with a runner just 90 feet away, right? And again, they're doing this because you want to try and win this game as much as possible. It did not work out today, knowing that Wheeler and Berríos are going to be on the mound tomorrow. But I've long said I would love to see high leverage guys used more when the situation calls for it, not just in that eighth or ninth inning role. And the nice thing with Ryrod, to Jen's point, is that he is also capable of throwing multiple innings, which of course he did in today's ball game. Comes back out for the sixth. He probably, like, I get what Jen's saying. Like, you could probably have kept Ryrod out there for the seventh, gone to Fisher in the eighth, and then maybe we'd still be playing baseball right now if that was the case, right? But I'll say this. It does feel like Yariel Rodriguez has found a nice groove as someone who can be solely, and again, we know he started before, but solely someone who is a high leverage reliever and can get high leverage outs. And if that's the case, I guess you can ping pong guys in those roles. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen that before, right? I mean, I was going to say it's not that long ago Ross Stripling pitched for this team. It's not quite a one-to-one, like apples to apples comparison. But while you have seen that, I'm not sure you want to play with that role for Yariel Rodriguez. Having said that, if things continue this way, you might be asking a little bit more of him. But even with a day off, I personally don't mind how they used Yariel Rodriguez. It's just, I think the rubber is going to have to meet the road here. Maybe it already has when it comes to what the situations call for when Chad Green and Eric Swanson are being called upon. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jay in Toronto. Jay, welcome to Jay's Talk. What's up?
Hey, Joel, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, just a quick question is, I think you touched on it kind of, in terms of Green and Swanson, they're out of options. And like Bowen Francis does options, so we could send him down. But the other two, I don't know what to do with those guys. I just wanted to get your opinion on them, especially since they're paid quite a bit. So what can we do with them? And how can we maybe recoup some of that money?
Hey, Jay, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, we were just talking about that. I gotta think that if, again, I don't think you're recouping any of the money. Unfortunately, I think that's the reality of where things sit. I'd have to look up how many more years exist on Swanson's deal, but I believe Chad Green's a free agent after this season, right? So, and I gotta think that Chad Green, this is a guy who is making what, $10.5 million? So, you know, even unless he was one of the better relievers on the team, and which of course he hasn't been, but I gotta think Green, the only reason he is still on the team is that impressive amount of money that he is earning. And I also have to think that because of that amount of money, it would be hard, generally speaking, to entice, I am guessing, most other teams, if you know you're trying to throw him into trade conversations, to even consider taking him. So I'm thinking the only two options with Green are you keep throwing him out there in the lowest possible leverage situations, or you DFA the guy, right? And again, I think they are pretty hard up for arms right now. Does it mean that you and again, because this is the last year of his deal, and that you're just eating the money if you were to DFA him just for the remainder of this year anyways? I mean, I gotta think that's at least a conversation being had. I mean, we were just talking about, like, do you DFA Swanson instead of sending Fisher down with options? And again, is that the greatest asset management? Probably not. But in terms of results, probably the right move to do. I mean, when Sandlin comes back, when Scherzer's back, when we're talking about active roster one for ones, I mean, that's going to be a conversation we're having at least a little bit more. Right this second, right now, probably not, right? Because Jimmy's on the IL. You just need arms, right? You need healthy bullpen arms, which they just don't have a lot of right now. We're kind of back to that. Again, if you can't count on Swanson and Green, we're kind of back to that situation we were talking about at the beginning of the year where the bullpen was nails, and it has continually largely been very, very good. It's just, I don't know, can you continue to roll out Little, Flew Hardy, and a whole bunch of other people as this many times in a row and not expect at least a couple of cracks? And again, they've been getting out of it. They've been performing really well. Kudos to Brendan Little again today, who continued to show us why maybe he deserves to be an all-star. But man, it's just, I'm not sure the Jays have a lot of minor league options right this second. Maybe going down the road, they will, right? Maybe like Van Eck is the guy we'll be talking about next year, for example. But Again, for this year, I think at least until Sandlin returns, you're probably going to see Chad Green in a couple more games, which I'm sure you guys don't love. And, you know, let's face it, I don't really love it either. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. There's a lot of text here. 590, 590, name and location. I'm not ignoring them. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll go to the text line. Again, 590, 590, name and location. We'll check out the Bet365 standings update, and we'll hear from John Schneider and company as well. So, still lots for us to do here on this edition of Jays Talk. Show Ali with you. We're back in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
John, do you still want to see Bowden working on this at the big league level, these next starts, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah. Soon after? Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, we need him. I've said it before, we need him, and he's working his ass off, you know, with Pete. So I think he's got to take what he did, you know, before the walks there in the fourth inning and kind of build off of it. And, yeah, I mean, we're going to need him to, you know, adjust through this time and keep making adjustments.
There you go. If you're wondering whether or not Bowden Francis is going to stay in the starting rotation, I think that sounds pretty definitive for me. That's John Schneider speaking to the media. I believe that was Keegan asking John whether or not Bowden should be working out his issues at the big league level. And it certainly sounds like, at the very least, Bowden Francis will be making another turn in the Blue Jays rotation. We'll continue taking your calls and your texts on this very topic in mere minutes as we welcome you back here to Blue Jays Talk. But first, let's check out the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. All right, let's check out the standings. So if we check out the scoreboard as well, yep, the Orioles held on. It was a pretty back and forth game, actually, but the Orioles held on to beat the Angels 6-5. The final score looks like, yeah, the Rays game is still going on at Citi Field in New York. They are currently doubling up the Mets at Citi Field 8-4. We have our game, which of course was a 3-2 loss. And this game just about to get going, the Yankees and Red Sox. By the way, yesterday's game was a real thriller, but this game just about to get going. They're playing each other. So with all that in mind, the Yankees entering their game against the Red Sox are 42-26. The Blue Jays, after a loss, two straight losses, they are 38-32. The Rays are 37-32. If they hold on to this, they will be tied with the Blue Jays at 38-32. The Red Sox, of course, entering play today, they are 35-36. And the Baltimore Orioles, after winning, are 29-40. So that's a look at the American League East Bet365 standings update. All right, let's go back to the phones. And let's go back to the text line as well. 590, 590, name and location. Let's see. Mike and Victoria, I don't know what a short leash is when four guys get on without a hit before the bullpen stirs. After the second walk, I was thinking with his track record, Francis should have been pulled. That is a short leash. Okay, so that's, I think, emphasis mine. But that is Mike and Victoria on the text line. Yeah, I mean, look, if you just heard what John Schneider said, I got to think it's going to be the shortest possible leash. I mean, I remember talking about this with Julia the last time out on the pregame show. And then, of course, he got hammered by the Twins. But Jules saying, you know, that we kind of know this. And the Blue Jays have done this. Even they did this with Yusei Kikuchi before he found it again, right, in his second year with the team. But, you know, only letting guys like that who are struggling go twice through the order. And I felt he had pitched well enough through 3 2/3. Right before things start to unravel, where, you know what, you could just let him finish off this inning and then just, you know, curtail the outing. Don't even let him finish the second time through the order. Just let it be done. And all things considered, you finish off as, you consider that a win, right? Quote unquote, a win. And that's not what we got today, right? So again, the way it lines up, as we talked about earlier, the way things line up do seem to line him up against the White Sox. And maybe, again, that's the best landing spot for Francis to get one last start before you say, all right, you know what? We can't do this anymore. And I agree with you. Many of you are saying, we're already there, show. We've been there for weeks. And I agree with you. But because there are no slam dunk other options right now, it certainly seems like why Francis is getting so much of the benefit of the doubt. Because, yeah, I mean, truthfully, if you could have sent him down, I don't think you're going to DFA Bowden Francis because he has options, right? But I don't know. Like, I think if there was a better option, I got to think the Blue Jays would have exercised that option right now, right? And I know there's some text here in the text line about, like, Ryan Yarbrough, for example, right? And while I do continually understand the angst about not re-signing Ryan Yarbrough, and I mean, I did not love the let go of Yarbrough before the season started, only to then immediately watch this get worse and watch him sign with the Yankees. But I don't know. I do think had Ryan Yarbrough still been a Blue Jay, we probably would have never seen anything from Eric Lauer this year, right? Because they kind of like fulfill the same roles, essentially. So I'm guessing that's like the sacrifice you'd make. And maybe you take that and you just not see Lauer for Yarbrough. But I only bring it up because I think we've had a lot of those conversations. Let's see. George in Thunder Bay. The biggest damage today was the two hit by pitches in a single inning. I still think it's crazy that he was cruising Bowden Francis through 3 2/3 only to run into five straight batters getting aboard, none of whom had a hit, right? Three walks and two hit batsmen. That's a tough one. Keenan from Winnipeg. I think I've seen enough of Chad Green for my liking. It's gotten to the point where when you know he's coming in, you start to worry. He's not horrible, but he knows how to give up the runs in the bigger moments. And I mean, even if you go back a couple of games, right? Wasn't there a couple of, I don't know if it was his last outing or two outings ago, where Chad Green, remember he loaded the bases and he still managed to get out of it? And I remember thinking, I think I did JSOC that day, and I remember thinking to myself, like, all right, I guess we can't really get too much on Chad Green. But I think the rubber has met the road with results, and a lot of the statistical output, I think, supporting that the results were probably not going to stay positive for too much longer, right? So again, I think we're there. And again, when you're on your last year of your deal, no one likes to eat this much money and get nothing back for it, essentially. But again, I mean, maybe it's worth rolling the dice there. It does feel like relief pitching is going to be what the Blue Jays need at the deadline. Nicholas Blackmore, our producer, looked this up for me. Eric Swanson, in case you're curious, currently on a one-year deal for the 2025 season. So no more years on the contract after this year, after this season. Chad Green wrapping up the last year of a two-year deal. So Chad Green making a lot more money than Eric Swanson. Swanson making $3 million. So I think you can, if Sandlin comes back and you absolutely need to DFA someone since you can't send Swanson down, it's sad to say that's probably the move. Let's see. Paul from Brandon, need Max back badly now. Time to DFA Chad Green and Francis. Again, I don't think you're DFAing Bowden Francis, because I think if you can send him down and have him, again, he's not like particularly young by any means, but if you can send him down and have him work on things in the minors, I think you do that, right? I don't think you'd waste an asset like that, but I'm not sure it's sustainable beyond the White Sox game, let's say next weekend or next Friday, if that's what it ends up being. I'm not sure you can keep throwing him out there. Nicole in Ottawa, can we please remove Chad Green from the circle of trust? I'll say this, Nicole, I don't think for me, and again, maybe I've said this and you guys can correct me, I don't think I've had Chad Green in the circle of trust for a good chunk of the year, if at all this year, but I am with you. He's not in there, right? Like, if we're talking about the circle of trust for the bullpen right now, yeah, I think Flew-Hardy maybe on the outer circle of trust. Inner circle of trust, Yariel Rodriguez and Brandon Little. Braden Fisher probably with Flew-Hardy in the outer circle of trust. Jeff Hoffman, I think, is in the outer circle of trust, which is kind of crazy to say, right? He's your closer, and I think you need a little bit more consistency from him. Obviously, it's hard to get on Hoffman because he hasn't pitched at all in this entire series, but just as we're talking about the circle of trust rankings here, there was one here from Forbes in Toronto, which I like. Braden Fisher giving me Ryan Pressly vibes coming over the top. Gosh, if you could get, if Fisher turns into anything like Ryan Pressly, could you imagine? He's found money already, but he even more so would look like that if he was anything like Ryan Pressly. But to Forbes' point, coming over the top with a heavy dose of curveballs and sliders, but still keeping them honest with the fastball, definitely further up the circle of trust than Swanson or Green currently are. Absolutely. 1,000%. I 1,000% agree. Again, what do you do when guys return? Do you go out of your way to let guys go to keep Fisher in the majors? And again, he hasn't pitched that much, period, in the majors. I think you do, honestly. Let's see. Jerry in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. We're seeing the difference between wildcard contender starting pitching, Blue Jays, versus World Series contender starting pitching, Phillies. The Jays want to be a serious World Series contender, and they need to acquire a number one starting pitcher. They tried to get Corbin Burns in the offseason. Chris Sale should be the target. I do think, I could be wrong, I do think I heard, like, not that long ago, maybe since the return of Ronald Acuna Jr., that the Braves have like somewhat signaled they are not selling. Now, again, if Chris Sale is available, I think you should at least explore that. But it does somewhat feel like the targets for starting pitching this season, because I kind of agree with Jerry's point that for a rotation that's a little older, you know, you assume Bassett and Scherzer are not going to return, and it's certainly possible Bassett returns. But let's say for the sake of this conversation, he does not. So you're already looking at two holes in the rotation. If you don't know what Francis is, you're really looking at three holes in the rotation. You're only left with Gausman and Berríos. Berríos has an opt-out built in there somewhere. Gausman's deal is up after next season. So again, Nick, you could, in theory, explore the idea of getting a number one guy, which would, in theory, extend the shelf life of this rotation with a different anchor, I suppose, because I'm not sure there is a true ace on this rotation. As much as Gausman has tried to bounce back, I'm not sure there is that guy on this team. Having said that, would you trade for a question mark, maybe? Would you trade a Yesavage or a Namala for anything more than a slam dunk ace? I probably would not, right? I don't think I would. How many times have we spoken in the last couple of years about this farm system not being particularly great, and you finally get some real, what looks like really good top-end prospects? I'm not sure I would want to trade them right away, unless you were getting like Paul Skeens or something, and I'm not sure that's in the cards this year, right? Like, it feels like the names we're going to be talking about this year, I'm just going to throw a couple out there, right? Like, Merrill Kelly, I know, is a popular one people have texted in about. I've said Mitch Keller, that'll probably cost you a pretty penny. Zach Littell, right? Zach Gallen, another Diamondbacks pitcher who has been having a so-so year, but who has flashed, obviously, in the past. I mean, I don't know, like Andrew Heaney from the Pirates, right? Nick Martinez, if the Reds don't turn things around. Like, those are the kinds of names you're probably looking at, but I don't disagree that you should look at number one guys. John from Guelph, if they put Francis back on the mound again, I'm going to watch reruns of Coronation Street instead. I mean, I don't know. I've never actually seen Coronation Street, so I can't actually quite say if that is a good or bad idea. Let's see. Miguel in Milton, forget AAA, send Bowden Francis to a geriatric slow pitch league. That seems like a little harsh, right? He has not been good. Don't get me wrong. He has not been particularly consistent in the last however many starts for a good chunk of the year, right? It was a point, and I'm not sure if he's still there, but he was leading the league in home runs for qualified pitchers, right? In terms of home runs given up by a starter. So again, but I think if you can send him down to work on things, you would. Having said that, the Blue Jays are just in a bit of a crunch right now. Let's see. This one is Bob, not trucking, actually, at home in Fergus, Ontario. I can't drop Bowden Francis because if I do, he'll pitch incredible. Chris in Scarborough, I'm thinking like when you have a rookie starter like Manoah or Francis that is so incredible, you trade them after their rookie season. Sure, you might miss on Skeens, but you still get a haul. I don't know. I think you'd want to at least see how things play out for a bunch of these guys, right? Colin in Calgary, we'll end on this one. Colin in Calgary, the fact that we are still six games over 500 with the fifth starter being a guaranteed loss almost, and the offense being inconsistent, is a testament to how much we rely on the big three starters. Could be worse. Lots of room to improve. You know what? Let's end on that one. That's a good one because it's positive. The Jays are still playing pretty good baseball. Was an entertaining game today. You need more from the bats, which we didn't get to a lot today. But again, you are you're going to need to do more than run guys out there for bullpen days, two out of five starts. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rush Control Centers. Today is Wash for a Wish Day at participating Crown locations. Get your vehicle hand washed today for $10. Not bad. 100% of the proceeds go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Canada. Help make a difference for critically ill children. Find your participating local family-owned Crown at crown.com. For Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, Christian Chinini, we'll give him a shout-out as well. He's here. I'm Show Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. Daniele Franceschi in with me tomorrow. He and I will put a bow on this series in Philly. Wheeler, Berríos, your pitching matchup. We'll talk to you later.